Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 19th chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 19. I want to read for you a few passages of Scripture and speak to you this morning about the spiritual warfare that rages all around us. I thought of Elijah when he was with his servant and an army, a host of the Assyrians were encircling his home where Elijah was living. And his servant was perplexed and confused and worried about this great army outside. And Elijah said, well, there's more of us than them. And he's like, how can that be? There's only two of us and there's hundreds of them. And he prayed that his eyes would be open. He saw a whole host of angels encamped all around them. I pray this morning that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that somehow, some way, God will illuminate your retina, the retina of your eyes, that you might see into the spiritual dimensions. There's a war raging, a spiritual war that is raging all around us. And I'm concerned that many of us are not engaged enough in the warfare that the enemy even recognizes we exist. Here in these particular passages of Scripture, and I was reading over these this past week, and here we have a vagabond Jew that tried to use some of the methods of the Apostle Paul to cast out some demons, some evil spirits. And I want to begin reading in verse 13 of the 19th chapter. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now here were these vagabond Jews. They were trying to cast out evil spirits. They were involved in witchcraft. They were exorcists. They actually were not real exorcists as some might think. They were fakes. They were putting on a show. They were making merchandise of people. They were con artists, okay? There still are a lot of religious con artists out there today. And so they thought they would try this, calling up the name of Jesus to see that these evil spirits were removed from people. And I want to say this, there are people that are possessed today. And as they did this, these evil spirits respond. Notice that it says, and there were seven sons, one, Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, hey, Jesus, we know. I know about Jesus Christ. Notice what else he says, what these evil spirits say. And Paul. I know about Paul. Now, obviously, there was some kind of spiritual connection between Paul and these evil spirits. These evil spirits were aware of the Apostle Paul. I wonder, would they be aware of you? Are we making a difference? People, we need to realize that the devil wants our homes. He wants our churches. He's pursuing our country. He wants our lives. We contend in a spiritual warfare. And I wonder sometimes if we're even recognized by the devil or recognized by the evil spirits. I know this, that unless we make some kind of progress in the kingdom of Christ, he will not be concerned about our efforts. It's only when we're progressive and we're militant, when we are pulling out the sword and we are aggressive with the kingdom of Christ and the word of God, does the devil recognize that we're even here. Paul was well known in the spiritual realm. I would like for Victory Church, and I believe God would want us to be recognized in the spiritual realm. Amen. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I'm aware of what the Apostle Paul is capable of do through the power of Jesus Christ. And I would hope that the spiritual world, the evil world, would recognize the things that are done by this church. This witch doctor, these enchantments that this man tried to do, he tried to use the name of Jesus. And these evil spirits responded to him and said, we know Jesus and we know Paul. The spiritual warfare, turn with me to another passage of Scripture, an important passage of Scripture that we find in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was talking about our warfare. He said the weapons, in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Do you realize that you have an arsenal through God and that arsenal is mighty? That much of the progress that's made in the kingdom of Jesus Christ is made by saints that stay on their knees, that fight in the spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, he said that we should take on the whole armor of God, I believe in verse 13. And he went on and said this, he said, we contend with principalities and powers and rulers in the dark regions. We fight against those, don't we? And all of these things are trying to destroy us. And we need to be engaged in the battle. We need to be fighting the war. They say that during the Civil War of this country, that the North thought that, well, the Southern army, as they began to fight, or as they first started to fight, they weren't really concerned about the South. Oh, the most Southerners, you know, they were contending for their way of life, and they weren't overly concerned about how industrious they were and how militant they were. And as the Northern army marched into the first battle, they got tired, and so they laid down some of their ammunition, and some of their families brought sack lunches, and they thought they would just go out there and a shot would be fired and the South would run. And many of us don't take serious the spiritual warfare that the church is engaged in. People, we need to do more than just go to church. We need to contend for the faith in the spiritual realm. There's more to this thing than just attending church and singing songs. We have demonic forces that are after our children. We have demonic forces that are after our lives. The devil wants to destroy us, both soul and body. And we contend with the devil. So we must utilize the weapons of our warfare, or we will be defeated. We're not fighting a carnal battle, we're fighting a spiritual battle. And I hope that you can see how it's raging all around us. I know a lot of people in this country, they want to see some kind of moral revival. A lot of people want to legislate morality. They want people to live right and do right. And sure, the church wants that. But if their hearts are not changed, it won't amount to a hill of beans. There must be a change on the inside, a spiritual change. Morality is something that comes as a result of God putting His laws in your heart. We need that kind of revival in our country. One that changes us from the inside out. Amen? These passages tell us that there's a warfare raging. A war. Do you feel like you're at war? Do you feel like that there's a spiritual battle raging? What if all these people in this section were demonic forces and they were after your children? After your home? After your grandchildren? Would you stand in the gap and take up the hedge? And how do you stand in the gap and take the hedge? How would you defend your family from all of these evil forces that are out to get them? Do you realize that's actually happening every day? But I'm fearful that there's no one there, no one standing in the gap, no one trying to defend their families and the lost that are among us. Listen, a lot of times the reason that lost people don't respond to the gospel is because saints have not been on their knees praying like they should be praying. Amen? There's not a prayerful heart going up. There's not intercessory kind of prayer going up on behalf of the lost people that the gospel might be effective. Listen, the gospel is only as powerful as the church preaches it to be. God didn't commission a man to carry the gospel. He commissioned the church. Now I tell you, we're in cooperation with this thing, amen? With the good news that Jesus saves. The battle is raging all around us. Well, what are we going to use to defend
our families, the lost that are among us throughout this revival? Are we going to get on our faces before God? Didn't Paul say that we need to pray in the sixth chapter of Ephesians? Didn't he tell us that we need to have our loins girded about with truth? Didn't he tell us we need the helmet of salvation? Don't we need the breastplate of righteousness? People, we can ward off the devil. I believe if God is lifted up, let God arise and his enemies will be scattered. In the book of Isaiah, it says that there is no weapon that is formed against us that can harm us. Tell you that these weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God. What are one of the weapons that we use in this Christian militant march? Well, prayer. Amen? Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. On the day of Pentecost, before the power came down, the church was united in prayer. Yes, there in the second chapter of Acts, they were praying. They were of one mind and one accord. That's another thing that brings power, that helps us be successful and obtain victory, is for us to be in one mind and one accord. We need to be in one mind and one accord as a church. We need to be in harmony one with another. Now, you may not think that's important, but it is. It's very important for the work of God to move forward. If Satan can divide us, he can destroy us. Jesus said, a kingdom that divides against itself cannot and will not stand. We need unity. We need to be united in prayer. One of the great assets that we utilize in fighting this warfare is we wrestle against these principalities and powers. Do you feel that? Do you sense that? I know Aaron and I, when he started wrestling, we got on the floor some when he was beginning and we tried to wrestle. And I was trying to show him how to wrestle. And when I was in high school, I did a little wrestling. And I knew, a half Nelson. I knew how to flip him over and hold him at a certain place. And it gets very intense. I mean, the struggle is intense. I mean, every muscle, it seems, you're using. And you're straining. And all of your strength, you're trying to utilize it to win and topple over the other person. We are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark place. And people, they're right on top of us. And we need to get them away. They're all around us. And we need to push them back. Oh man, we need to get down to business. Oh, that your eyes would be open and you would see all the evils that are around us, the forces of evil that lurk around us. And we don't have time to be cold. We don't have time to be indifferent. We don't have time to be calloused. We don't have time to have a lax attitude toward these things. We need to be zealous. We need to be on fire for God. Amen. God needs to look off his throne and see our zeal and our ambition and our desire to see the cause of Jesus Christ move forward, the gospel be advanced, and souls saved. When's the last time you wrestled over a soul? When's the last time you were awake all night wrestling? See, many of these people that come into our sanctuaries and people in your corner of the world, I tell you, the battle is raging in your corner of the world. And each one of us are responsible. Amen? We are responsible for those people that are around us. We may be the only warrior of Christ that is ever in their life. We may be the only one that ever stands in the gap for them. We may be the only one trying to push away the evil forces that have kept them in chain to sin all their life. We better be about the master's business. Ever since Michael began to contend with the dragon, the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 7, there was a great war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon in Revelation 12 and 7, and the dragon fought and his angels. And ever since that time, there's been a war raging between good and evil, God and Satan, the saints and Satan himself. There is a universal involvement in this warfare. This conflict, first of all, is a spiritual warfare. And it's intense Paul said we wrestle. Paul said we wrestle with principalities. And can you imagine that? Listen, I tell you one thing. I'd hate to try to do that without the blood of Jesus. I sure would. I wouldn't want to. You can't wrestle with the devil unless the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. You won't have any kind of victory unless you've got the name of Jesus to utilize. People, I tell you, there are things that we can do in the cause of Jesus Christ that we are not doing. There are prayers that should be offered up that we're not offering up. There are battles that could be won in the spiritual realm that we are not winning. We're not. What if I told you that sinners responding to the gospel was dependent upon your prayer? Here they are, staying back, holding back, some of them even gripping the pew till their knuckles turn white. And the thing that can break that force that's holding them from Jesus is you. You standing up. You volunteering. You submitting. You praying. You pushing back those evil forces. Oh, that God would open our eyes. We have more power than the devil. Listen to me. Our weaponry is mighty through God. They're not carnal. We don't wrestle against. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. But we're wrestling in the spiritual realm for the souls of men. Oh, that the church would become militant once again. We would see victory. See the devil push back and regain territory that he's taken from us. How can we sit idly by and see territory that was once ours? People that were once serving the Lord and working for the Lord and industrious in the kingdom of Christ being stolen from us by the devil. How can we sit idly by without making some kind of move? There have been periods in history in the church, mark this down, where the soldiers of Jesus Christ, Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy in the book of Timothy, and he told him, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he said that thou mightest war. You'll war a good warfare for Jesus. Are we fighting a good warfare for Jesus? Are we? There have been periods in the history of the church where the saints of God have actually laid their armor down. Here the shield of faith was protecting us. The fiery darts of the devil were not able to penetrate our lives nor the lives of our families. Many of our communities, years gone by, were preserved and protected by the saints of God, who had power and favor with God and favor with men, and they were able to push back the demonic forces that were lurking to destroy. But there have been periods of history, periods of time in history where the church has laid down the shield, given up the sword, and turned their back. And we've suffered tremendous losses. Areas of this country that once there was the gospel and it was thriving, it's now gone. I mean, it's gone. I've in the New England area. Do you guys realize at one time Baptists were the largest denomination in this country? Much of the democracy was formed because Baptists were pretty much everywhere and in the greatest majority. And most of the legislation was passed because God, fearing God, loving people, filled this country. But it's not like that anymore. Come on now, it's not. And we have lost territory that was once owned by Jesus Christ. You might say, well, preacher, we're just a little church over here and we can't do very much. And, you know, we'd be good to just keep our own family safe. But listen, we have to do more than just keep our family safe. We need to preserve the world for Jesus. We need to be the salt. We need to season this world. Jesus said, well, the salt has lost its savoring ability that it would be henceforth good for nothing. Satan. Well, there's three major forces that we contend with. I want us to explore just for a moment this Christian warfare. First of all, we contend with the devil, don't we? I don't know how the devil does it. He's not omnipotent. But somehow, some way, every one of us at one time or another, we have some kind of conflict with the devil himself. Either directly or indirectly. Through one of his fallen angels or through some other means, some spiritual means. We have some kind of direct warfare going on with the devil. Sometimes in our lives we have given in to Satan's devices. He has many devices, the Bible says. He is an enemy. The Bible says this about him, that he is the angel of the bottomless pit. He is a dragon. He is the evil one. He is the prince of this world. He is the god of this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. He is referred to as Beelzebub, the adversary. He is the destroyer. He is the roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour. And this class of enemy is invisible. This class of enemy is spiritual. There is a spiritual enemy that is out to destroy us. And he's referred to, I believe in a real devil. I don't know about you, but I believe there's a real devil. Yeah, that was cast out of heaven. And many of his angels with him. He hurls fiery darts, according to Ephesians 6:2, at us, doesn't he? And the only way we can quench them or reflect them or resist them is for us to have on the spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Are we all suited up this week? Are you ready for revival? Huh? Do you have it all on? You know, when we are wearing the entire armor that God has given us, we'll let go of a lot of things in this world. You can't have the helmet of salvation on and be thinking about work. I mean, really, you cannot be consumed by things of this world when you have the helmet of salvation on. You're thinking about souls being saved. Amen? When you have the breastplate of righteousness on and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, when you're going everywhere telling people about Jesus, when you have the armor on, things are different. Have there been times in your life where you had the whole armor of God on? I know there are times you've had some of it on, but are there times in your life where you've had it all on? Come on now, reflect back. We're talking about spiritual things. Have you laid some of it down? If you look this morning, is it all there? Huh? Every bit of it? Are you wearing all of the armor of God? What about that shield of faith? Huh? Wow. Do you know what kind of power is in that shield of faith? You know, didn't Jesus say if we had just the belief of a grain of mustard seed, there was power in our lives to say to a sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. Wow. I mean, we can march with confidence and strength and in the power of His might. People, it's not of our might. It's not of our ability. It's not of our strength, but it is by His Spirit, saith the Lord. When His Spirit is residing on us and in us, we can march and see great and mighty things take place. So we contend with the devil. He's a spiritual foe. There are other things that we contend with. We contend with the world, don't we?
Bible says the world is the seat of Satan. I'm afraid that most of our homes have opened up a direct line of this cesspool of the world, and we've just let it flood our homes and our lives. Come on now. Huh? The world is our enemy. It's time the church quits trying to have peace with the world. World is your enemy. Jesus told us that He prayed not for the world. In the book of John, He told us clearly in the 17th chapter, He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for you. People, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're letting too much of the world, listen to me, we're letting too much of the world into our lives. Come on now. Let's get honest about this thing. And it's like kryptonite was to Superman, the world is to the Christian. Depletes us of our strength, our energy, our courage, our ability. We are weakened by the world. John Rhodes said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that what he said? Can I get an amen? That's what John said. Amen. Amen. Paul said, be not conformed to the world in the 12th chapter of Romans. Don't be conformed to the world. The church of Jesus Christ looks more like the world than it's ever looked. Come on now. It looks more like the world than it's ever looked. And it weakens us. The world is our enemy. I'll tell you who the God of this world is. The devil is the God of this world. The world's fallen. And we are in arms against it. We can't have friendship with the world. There are many things that allure people. Paul said, I'm crucified to the world. The world is crucified unto me. The third area of our spiritual warfare, we've got a threefold enemy. The devil, the world, and our own hearts. Listen, your own depraved nature. Your flesh, amen? Paul said, I war against the flesh. When I try to do good, evil is present, what? With me, in me, in my flesh. That is my flesh. I have no goodness whatsoever, he said. My flesh, there is no good thing. He said, with my soul or my spirit, I serve God. And with my flesh, I don't serve God. And he told us about our own depraved nature being in conflict with our souls. Our hearts need to be sanctified. And while the battle is raging, we need to be victorious over the flesh. Amen? It's time we think about, once again, doing what our forefathers did, and that's crucify the flesh. Anybody ever done that before? Huh? I mean, really? Really? I mean, really crucify the flesh? How did that feel? Do you remember when you did that? When's the last time you did that? Do you have to do it every day? Do you do it weekly, monthly, yearly, annually? What? You know, when do we crucify the flesh? The Bible says we need to do it every day. Amen. Daily crucify the flesh. This daily warfare is going on, and we need to be daily committed to it. Amen. There's a constant conflict, a difficult struggle that we're engaged in. And it's imperative for the church to be victorious. We're talking about eternal life and eternal death hangs in the balance. And this generation is dependent upon us, the church of the true and living God, to be militant, to take this gospel forward, amen? To stay on our knees, to be close to God, to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. We might see great and glorious things take place. I heard one preacher say that we're just one generation from extinction. And I believe that to be the case. We have a great cause.
When you examine the excellency of this war, there's no greater cause than the cause of Jesus Christ. I thought about it, and I was talking to Brother Mike Calhoun yesterday. I went to an ordination in Indianapolis, and I was driving back, and I made some calls to him, Brother Keene, and so forth. And we got to talking about how that Paul made reference to a glorious entrance into his kingdom. Or in contrast to that, there are places in the Bible where we can go in before the Lord with shame. Depending on how we live our Christian life, we can have a glorious entrance, or we can have an entrance of shame. We can go in as a private, or you can go in as a general in this army. Amen? Depending on how engaged you are and the promotions that we receive. This is a good cause. It's the cause of truth. It's a cause of eternal life. And when we're engaged in the battle and we have the weapons of our warfare, spiritual rather than carnal, there's a divine protection. God protects His people. And when we are engaged and we're prayed up and we're working for God and we are promoting the cause of Jesus Christ and we're crucifying the flesh, I'm telling you, there's nothing the devil can do to destroy us. When God's people get united and they're serving the Lord and the Spirit of God is in them, there's a force there that exceeds all the forces of evil. Amen. You know, the devil's afraid of this. Y'all do know that, don't you? He will do everything in his power to cause the church to get divided. He'll do everything in his power to get the church to get carnal. He'll do everything in his power to disrupt our goal. And that's a victory in Jesus Christ in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. People, we need to move the cause forward. For there's no greater cause than the cause of Jesus Christ. God is against Satan. Heaven is against hell. Amen? The church is against the world. We will not only have a good cause, we've got a good captain. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to the church or to men. We've got a great captain. It's Jesus who is our fortress. He's our commander in chief. He is our buckler and high tower. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's great captain. And people, I tell you, he always, always, always is victorious. There is no enemy that has ever defeated him. He came to this world and he destroyed the devil and all of his work through his crucifixion at Calvary and his resurrection from the dead. He is seated there in glory as our advocate and our captain. And he's wanting us to fight the warfare here for the souls of men, that there might be a glorious, glorious victory in the end. We have great resources, excellent resources, everything we need, we have. Our armor is not inferior. I know that some were concerned about our troops and some of their armor and it not being sufficient, but I assure you the armor of God is sufficient for us to be victorious in the warfare. Everything you need as a Christian is available to you to be victorious. Amen? Every bit of it is there. We always receive the resources needed. We not only have good resources, we are guaranteed, listen to me, we are guaranteed good results. You know, don't tell me it doesn't work. It does. It does. If we would just do it. And that's my third point. We need to be personally engaged in the spiritual battle that we might see positive results. We will receive personal assistance if we will just surrender to the Lord. So we examine these things. Be mindful of the fact that your personal exploits of warfare in your corner of the world with the people in and around you. I can't carry the burdens that you're supposed to carry. I know some missionary Baptists that pay their pastors a decent salary. They've gotten their mind that now they don't have to do anything. They just make the pastor do it all. They pay him to do it. Don't work that way. No. No. You have burdens. You know people that are lost. You have family members. You're to carry those burdens. Amen. I can help you as much as I can. And other people around will help you. But the bottom line, the person at the forefront in that battle is you. You. Spiritual warfare. It's raging all around us. It really is. Sometimes I think we give up the fight. People, there's no place for us to give up. Sometimes we give up on people. We think, well, the devil's got them. No, he doesn't. Jesus is bigger than the devil. It's not the battle's not over, people. Let's keep fighting, amen? Let's stay prayed up. Let's stay close to the Lord. Let's pray that this revival will be a great revival that will have an impact not only upon our friends and family and the people that come here, but upon this world. Can it happen? Can it happen? Do we believe it? Can we put that shield of faith in front of us and march? No matter how battle the rages between us and the devil and the world, we can keep marching forward because we know that that shield of faith will protect us. Those old shields used to go from the feet to the head. I mean, they were big. They were huge. You could get behind that thing and you could move forward. I mean, you could just... I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ had faith. We'd see moving forward. We would be seen moving forward in the world. And we need to trust in God's power and His ability. We'll see great things happen. We will. We will. We will. I'm telling you, this is real. It's just as real as God's love. Amen? I mean, that message got a hold of me Wednesday night. I got a tickling on the inside, you know, when he said, God loves you and he loves me. And I felt it. I experienced it. It was real to me. Well, the battle is real. The spiritual warfare is real. We need to spend some time on our knees praying. We need to spend some time interceding. We need to spend some time weeping. The Bible says that God sees every tear that's shed. He puts them in a bottle, the psalmist said. Writes them down in His book of remembrance. When you shed a tear for somebody, when you shed a tear for lost souls, I tell you what, we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. We will doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. Amen? We need to spend some time wrestling with the demonic forces that are lurking all around us. And we will see victory. Amen? It's been promised. It's been guaranteed. Guaranteed. Praise His holy name. I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. Amen? I'm on the side of victory today. I want us to have a song.